top stories to keep your eyes and ears on.
Now, I don't need to tell you that South Africa is increasingly facing the brunt of climate change, with extreme weather events like floods and droughts becoming more frequent and severe. And obviously, these events have profound implications, not just environmentally, but economically. They would affect industry, infrastructure, and even our livelihoods. And I want to put some of that under the microscope. Joining us is Dr. Nomhle Ngwenya, board member of the National Advisory Council on Innovation, and an expert in climate risk and ESG. Dr. Ngwenya, thank you very much for talking to us. You've highlighted the economic strain of climate-induced events. How do you assess South Africa's current economic resilience to repetitive weather shocks?
Thank you for this. I think this is such a very timely and important, you know, conversation, because climate change is exacerbating already some of the, you know, economic challenges that we have. For example, we already have a chronic infrastructure challenge with aging infrastructure and lack of regular maintenance. And climate change is exacerbating some of these, you know, challenges, where whenever an extreme weather event happens, for example, with, you know, floods, you know, infrastructure is always impacted, where we have an issue with stormwater drainage systems, you know, or even just our pothole crisis being exacerbated. And so with, you know, climate change, you know, increasing with intensity and frequency, this will definitely have strong ripple effects across the economy.
And I'd suggest to you that the climate risks are probably not integrated adequately enough into macroeconomic planning and policy. There is a disconnect, surely, between the environmental realities that you've just outlined and broader economic planning.
Agreed. And we see this, how even when, you know, a weather event happens, we see that there's a lack of sort of, you know, institutional coordination amongst different departments. There seems to always be a reliance on COCTA, but climate change, you know, easily spills into, you know, Department of Health, Department of Transport, etc. So on a government level, there's a lack of integration. But also, you know, we are not integrating extreme weather events into things like, you know, national statistics and economic modeling, which is very important. We really need to have an understanding of how does climate change or extreme weather events have an impact on, you know, economic modeling and also on our GDP as well.
Why do you think we're not doing that? Do we just have our heads in the sand?
So one, I think, you know, there's a lack of, you know, collaboration. Just in terms of, you know, the private sector and you know, government. And the reason why I mentioned the private sector is because if you look at, you know, South African Reserve Bank and the Prudential Authority, they have been working very closely with businesses on how to integrate climate-related risks into their balance sheet. So there's a keen interest on how private sector can really, you know, adapt and mitigate according, you know, to climate change. So there's a lack of, you know, collaboration that I think they're great insights that both government and private sector can learn from. But two, I think there's also lack of skills. You know, if we look at just 10, 20 years ago, you know, integrating climate-related risks and, you know, integrating them with, you know, financial knowledge, I think that has been something that is very new. So there's a gap in knowledge for that. And this is why things like, you know, global initiatives like the Network for Greening the Financial Systems, you know, and other international institutions become very important, where we can have lessons learned from both developed and developing countries on how to mitigate and adapt to extreme weather events.
Do you think there is a reluctance from the private sector to become more involved in this process, or is it simply government turning around and saying we can do this on our own?
So I think it's many factors, and the first part is really just in terms of investments. When we speak around, you know, investments, I think there's a huge reliance on private sector to come and, you know, pitch in and also invest in things like early warning monitoring systems. But yet we also need to, you know, tap into fiscal policy and budgeting. For example, COCTA has over, you know, 600 million towards a billion, you know, factored into extreme weather events. So we really need to tap into, you know, contingency funds. What does government have and what does private sector have? And how can we meet the two halfway? But also, we need to ensure that the policy foundation in our country is well adapted. As I've mentioned, we have fantastic policies, but it's a mere gist of implementation. And this speaks to what I mentioned earlier on around the institutional collaboration that is missing. So it really is a combination of two.
Dr. Ngwenya, in your role as a member of the National Advisory Council on Innovation, do you think that technological innovation is being invested in sufficiently enough in terms of mitigating the climate risks that you've outlined?
So if we look at some of the key, you know, policies, for example, the decadal plan, and looking just into what, you know, Minister Nzimande has really been pushing in terms of, you know, artificial technology, and this cuts across into, you know, the early warning investments that we really need. So there really is, you know, greater awareness and a lot of work that is being done to ensure that, you know, not only do we just invest in early warning systems, but also this links into our greater science, you know, and decadal plans that we have for the country.
It's also important, I imagine, for local communities to be better prepared and involved in resilience building against these climate-induced disasters. The reality, though, is that there are so many other competing priorities.
Agreed. So if we look, I mean, just on that, we have, you know, so many socioeconomic challenges. We've got high unemployment rates. We've got, you know, poverty, you know, health challenges, etc. But this is where things like Indigenous knowledge becomes very, very critical and important, where we ensure that communities are also empowered and communities can play a role, you know, in, you know, climate adaptation and mitigation projects.
So a final question then, against the backdrop of everything that you've outlined, how much time do we have?
Very minimal. Extreme weather events are increasing in intensity and frequency. We're having a very volatile climate crisis. If we just even take a look at, you know, the Durban floods that happened in April 2022, how our GDP contracted by 0.7%, and how we have key sectors like agriculture, which need particular climate conditions, but with climate change becoming so unpredictable, you know, this will definitely have a direct impact and drive up, you know, agricultural, you know, prices. So just in terms of time, we don't have a lot of time left, but, you know, we do have massive opportunities in terms of investments, partnership and collaboration to ensure that we effectively, you know, adapt and mitigate against these extreme weather events.
Well, the warning has been sounded. Dr. Nomhle Ngwenya, thank you very much indeed. Board member of the National Advisory Council on Innovation, also an expert in climate risk and ESG. Thank you so much.